All right. Bear with me. My throat is extremely dry for some reason. Apparently, the climate here is very different than South Carolina, where it's 90% humidity most of the year. Nothing to disclose. Give you a brief overview of who we are and what we do. There's some websites here. The Rural Health Research Center, the South Carolina Rural Health Research Center, is one of six federally funded rural health research centers in the U.S., funded through the Office of Rural Health Policy within HRSA. And our main focus is rural disparities, especially with minorities. And this work kind of came out of a larger work, this Health Disparities, a Rural-Urban Chart Book, and there's the link for it there. You can also Google for it, and you'll find it pretty quickly. But it's, I don't remember how many measures we used, 25 measures from various sources, looking at rural disparities across the urban-rural spectrum and race. And we also have state-by-state breakdowns in the back of the chart book, where we had ample sample sizes. So it's a good resource for a lot of you folks. And there's our grant notice award there at the bottom. Brief background, I think most of you know these things, but mortality and morbidity for influenza and even pneumococcal disease is high, and vaccines are effective. And that's kind of the bottom line. They're relatively easy to administer, but vaccination rates are lower among rural residents and minorities. What we wanted to know is, what about those minorities in the remote rural areas? How do they compare across to, for example, whites in urban or even suburban areas? And that's something you just don't see that cross-section a lot, mostly because of data concerns. When you get down to remote African-American over 50 with a flu shot, some of these like MEPS, for example, you might find two. We found a few more, but it's still a little bit difficult. So we wanted to look at those vaccination rates, and we wanted to see if the effect was disproportionate among minorities in these rural areas. We did use the O5 BRFSS, the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System. We used the O5 because starting in 06, they started censoring the data and eliminating counties with less than 10,000 residents. They have the data, but they just won't give it to us anymore. Or allow us to use the research data center. And we've been asking for about a year and a half and gone in circles. So that's why we used 05 data. It's a little bit old. If we used the most recent data, I've used 08 for other studies, we're basically losing all of our remote rural residents. We merged it with the area resource file. We looked at two populations, 50 plus for flu and 65 for pneumococcal, recognizing some folks under 65 get pneumococcal, but everybody over 65 is supposed to have it. So that's kind of why we limited it that way. It is a self-report of vaccination, which is somewhat of a limitation, but it is what it is. We did look at three different races, white, African-American, other. We lumped other. We didn't have Hispanic simply because of sample sizes. We would like to have Hispanic, but it's just not there, especially when we look at, and it's kind of the trade-off we always have to make when we do our work. Do we focus on an expanded rural definition or an expanded race definition? And it's very, very rare that we can do both. And especially when you're limiting to 65 plus with a pneumococcal, you know, we just can't do it. We also used several independent variables. We used Anderson's health services use model, predisposing and enabling characteristics and need characteristics. We also did control how much they utilize the system. Do they have access to the system, usual source of care? And we used a couple county variables. Most important one turned out to be the ratio of primary care providers to residents at the county level. And we split that into quartiles. So we, you know, basically did our basic bivariate analysis. And then we did logistic regression. We did find a significant interaction between race and rurality. So we couldn't put those in the model independently, and we created basically a 12-level variable that the referent group was white urban, and it went down white micropolitan, white small adjacent, all the way down to other remote rural. So that was a 12-level variable in the model, which made things a little hairy, but it makes a little bit more sense in a minute. Those are interesting. It changed it to fingers. I'm not sure what happened there. It looks almost rude right there. Anyway, for influenza, overall the vaccination rate was about 42%. This was lower for minorities. In our findings, we actually found rural was higher, significantly higher, not much higher, but still significantly higher than urban. And remote rural residents had the highest rate. Explain that one, I'm not sure. We'll talk about that later. But there were also differences by race. And this is kind of the big model. And you can see this is everybody. As rurality goes up, trends go up. Now what you'll see here for whites, same thing as total. Obviously this is the largest proportion of folks. But what's interesting here is the African American, you'll see this downward trend, which we found really interesting because if you just look at rurality, you would never have found that, you know. Now, granted, technically that's not significant. And I think that's supposed to be 30, not 39. That's why that's actually 30, not 39. That was a typo. And then other, it tends to go up, and that's actually higher. This is probably driven more by Asian and some Hispanic. Actually, Hispanic migrant workers do a really good job of getting vaccinated. Studies have shown they get over-vaccinated because everywhere they go, they get vaccinated because people are trying to improve their public health and their titers are way too high. So basically what we found was whites are more likely to be vaccinated no matter where they live, okay? African Americans are less likely to be vaccinated no matter where they live. And what we found was that if you didn't break out that minority status across rural, then the racial effect would be masked. You wouldn't have found that and you wouldn't have seen that there is a lower rate there. Age, not surprisingly, was a factor. As you get into older age, I think our largest group was 75 plus. That's the odds ratio for 75 plus. So they're on board with getting flu shots. Having a usual source of care, significant. Poor health was significant, mostly because they're more likely to show up at the doctor's office. Lower income, less likely, not surprisingly. And provider availability, and this is for the lower quartiles. So if you had fewer providers in your county per 1,000 residents, you're less likely to be vaccinated. Another measure of just basic access. Can you get to it or not? And this is the nice little chart. You can see whites, it goes up with rural African Americans. It drops and then it kind of holds steady across the board there. And this, like I said, this disappears if you just look at rural. Pneumococcal, not nearly as interesting, still a relatively higher rate simply because it's just a one-time deal. You get it once, you don't have to worry about it again for the most part. Lower for minorities. Rural, however, was not significantly different across the board, basically, except when you look down at race. So when we get here, again, you see kind of the same trend. Not a rural significant here, but when we get to African Americans, you can see significant drop-offs here. This, I suspect, is somewhat of an artifact of small sample sizes. When you get, like I said, remote rural African American, we're probably looking at 200 to 300 respondents in this area here. So it's a little bit biased upwardly. And the same way, this might be biased downwardly somewhat. But you can see that the general trend, if you kind of average that out, is still low, not good. And this one's kind of all over the place. Same kind of effect here. You've got smaller sample sizes. So again, you can see the odds ratios for African Americans really low for pneumococcal. 0.2 is just, it's one of the lowest I've seen actually to be significant. The odds decreased further among African Americans with increased rural. And again, age effects, not nearly as strong as with influenza. Usual source of care, again, high, lower income, significant, poor health status. Provider availability didn't have an impact on this one, just with the influenza. Again, I think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's a one and done type deal for most of the folks. And again, there's the 0.2 there. You can see pretty much flat right up here for whites. So again, if you just looked at rural, you would say, oh, everybody's doing fine in rural. We don't need to worry about it because everybody's fine. Except when you say, hey, well, what about minorities? Oh, wait, we're doing a pretty sucky job. So basically what we found was a differential disparity. Really depends upon color of your skin. Now, is it race in and of itself? No, I don't think it's driven by, what's the word I'm looking for? Discrimination, okay? I think it has a lot to do with some of the discussion we've had earlier about just health beliefs, health literacy, especially when you get into these remote areas. Minorities have a strong distrust of institutions in general, let alone healthcare. There's a lot, as previous speakers spoke about, with misinformation, especially with flu shots. I was actually listening to sports radio one morning on the way into work, and they were talking about, oh, there's no way I would get my flu shot because it's got all these horrible things in it, and I'm just going to die if I get it. And I actually called in and yelled at them for a little bit. And it was interesting. It was way off topic, and better than talking about Gamecock football, actually. But poor health, age, and having a provider strongly associated with having receipt. Now, what's interesting about this, I'm doing a study related to this right now, looking at flu shot location. Where did they get their flu shot? Rural folks are largely dependent upon a medical doctor, provider, clinic to get their flu shot. Among those with the flu shot, in remote areas, it was hitting above 90% got their shots at the doctor's office. Urban areas, much lower. They're more dependent upon retail locations, pharmacies, supermarkets, Walmart, things like that. Well, there's just not a lot of those in rural areas. So one thing that we think potentially could occur is if we just made it more available outside of the doctor's office to get around that health literacy and even the distrust, if it's offered at their local supermarket, by a pharmacist at, thinking outside the box, flu shots are relatively easy to administer. I think they're giving them in the exhibit hall, actually. You know, let's do it at barber shops, let's do it at hairdressers. I'm a big advocate that we need to do more public health outreach at the strip clubs, which are very popular in our city. You know, free cover if you get a flu shot, things like that. Because we're reaching a black male population that is high risk and probably not gonna go see the doctor, that kind of thing. So we need to think of some alternative strategies to make them less dependent upon providers to get their shots.
He didn't learn that last part by me. I think it's one of the opposites.
It's academic freedom. I can say what I want. Pneumococcal vaccinations, like I said, not as interesting because of the one and done. Whites were held steady. African Americans did decrease substantially. And again, it might be the same sort of problem. And the BRFUS doesn't ask about where they get their pneumococcal vaccine. Again, it would have to be at most doctors' offices. I haven't seen that at Walmart, for example. But alternate delivery methods for that, because it's not any different than the flu shot itself, would improve that as well. So what's the take-home message? Minorities are different across rural. Even controlling for the usual source of care and provider availability, they're low. And, the targeted interventions. And, we've mentioned before the Patient Protection Act delivery mechanisms, some of the barriers are decreasing, the cost barriers. But when we're talking about minorities in really remote rural places, I'm not sure that cost is a huge factor, because we did actually control for income in this. And, they might use it as an excuse, but it's probably masking the distrust or just the feeling that, it's full of mercury and it's full of fetal tissue, so I'm not going to get it. So it's that kind of thing that we need to try to figure out. Questions? Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, is that going to be controlled for insurance coverage?
Yes. And we controlled for it with influenza, not for pneumococcal because it was 65 plus and it was 99% insured because of Medicare. So in BRFUS, almost everybody in over 65 has insurance with Medicare. Under the 50 for the influenza, we did cover for insurance, and it was not significant controlling for everything else. Yeah?
Do you know if providers in rural areas, if all of them stock up on the influenza vaccine?
Yeah.
In metropolitan areas, there may be other sources of vaccination, like the Walmart, for example.
Right. Yeah, supply is a big problem. Supply has not been a problem this year. I don't know if you guys have noticed how many of you live out in rural areas. They made an oversupply this year because there was such a run on it last year, especially with H1N1. Supply this year is not a problem, but it's still basically it's only going to provider offices, clinics, rural health clinics, hospitals will have them. But they don't have as many to draw from. So if they run out, they can't say, well, go to Walmart and get it. It's the same price your insurance pays for it. Because they may not have a Walmart, or they might not have a pharmacy or somebody that has alternative means. So yeah, supply is a big thing. Obviously, that's not in the BRFUS data, but I'm sure that's a factor. Yeah.
I'm curious about religiosity. So religiosity is a strong predictor in St. Louis of being vaccinated.
Yeah.
And so for two reasons. One is the change in it. Two, it would be a quick way to vaccinate a lot of people if you go to Sunday service.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and
is
what's...
Is BRFUS like it?
No. Where did we get that the Eric article, religiosity? There's some data set that has that in there. I forget what it is. Census, but there's another, maybe it's the longitudinal survey of youth. Anybody out there? You can email me if you really want to know, but I'm helping write a paper on it, and I completely forgot where the data source is, which is bad, but I haven't looked at that paper in a while. But yeah, and that would be interesting because that would vary widely by region. because if you go in the South, everybody goes to church, basically. Now, African-American communities in the South, it's a different feel than white communities in the South, and even Latino, Hispanic Latino. So, yeah, and a lot of local churches in area have health fairs, they have screenings, they have blood mobiles. That's an obvious way to do it, but we're actually in an urban area. You know, you don't have those large churches in remote areas that have the resources to set up a health fair. So, probably a factor, but, you know, it would be an interesting regional mix.
We're politically correct from the strip club.
Yes, and that's why I don't think the strip club idea would go over well in our area, because we are in the Bible Belt.
Better name safety.
Yeah. Get a free, you know, PSA and you get in free, you know. Any other questions? Yes. And we use the data centers at NCHS and AHRQ frequently, because usually what happens with these publicly available data sets is they censor some data so they can't identify folks. So we have to go to DC. We've been to NCHS frequently. You were just there last week to get access to the restricted data so that our N is better. But still the problem persists, like with MEPS. You know, I've worked with MEPS at the RDC, but since MEPS is so expensive to actually do, they don't oversample rural. So it's still, you know, if you look at the, even with the restricted data, it says 10% rural, 90% urban, which the population's about 25% rural. So it's undersample and our numbers are so low that we can get census data on minority rural, but then link it with something like BRFIS, where we're looking at health behaviors, the ends really start to drop off quickly, even if we use the restricted data. Yeah, NAMCAS.
Correct.
Yeah.
But NAMCAS is provider visit based, not population based.
Right. But if you take the number of visits and reach a black person in a rural area versus a vaccination in a year, and you make an assumption that they're not getting two of the very same vaccinations, you could be a bad number of vaccines.
So one could calculate the visit rate in the population that way. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, we could do visit rates. We just can't get to characteristics of those who aren't showing up at the doctor's office.